Good afternoon, everyone. This is Art Shirk here from the Coaches Training Institute. And with me on this webinar is Henry Kimsey House. Henry.
Hello.
And we want to welcome you to our webinar number 2 in this series, Transformative Coaching in Organizations. And today our topic is Shake It Up. We are expecting to have actually hundreds of people on our webinar today from all over the world. And the way that it is set up is that you're automatically on mute as you when you come on the call. You have a chance to write in your questions in the question window on your screen as we go, if you have questions. And we have someone with us on the webinar who is reading through those as we go, and we'll be kind of sending various questions to Henry and I as we go. Well, for sure, we will have time at the end of our call today to spend a little time with questions and answers, and we may have some pauses along the way as we go also to respond to some questions that come up.
It's a very interesting and cool system. It's interesting for CTI to do a program like this where we can't even sort of interact with you. Most of you have all done courses through CTI, and you know that we're highly interactive and highly experiential. So this is the most sort of virtual interactive experience we've been able to find, and it's working pretty good for disseminating information, and I'm glad you're all here to play with us.
And we know that many of you have signed up for this as a series, so you're on each of these webinars. We had one. We have one more after this one. And actually, more than the webinars, our intention here is really to be opening up a conversation with you, with all of us as the Coactive Coaching community, about transformative coaching in organizations. And so as part of that, we have begun a conversation area on the Coactive Network, and really, in a sense, our intent is to have some time here on a webinar that really is like a launch pad for a conversation that can continue in between these webinars online, on the Coactive Network. It kind of starts a dialogue. We believe that this is an important conversation to be having. It's about who we are as Coactive Coaches, and what does it mean to stand for transformative coaching specifically, well, everywhere, but specifically in organizations. And what does that really mean, and how do we hold the bar there? So that really is our larger intent.
And I also want to add something to what you're saying is that we know many of you were at the first webinar that we had, and we know many of you weren't. And so we're going to do our best to also keep current as we develop these webinars. Just do a little bit of just a tiny bit of review from the last one, because it very much helps us set the stage for this one for you all as well. So that's our plan.
Right. And we started the initial session that we had. So we realized that for many of you, you attended, and this is a bit of a review. The title of that session was Transformative Coaching and Organization, The Coach's Agenda. And all
of us... Can we just have a da-da-da,
because we spend so much time, as many of you know, in the core curriculum for CTI that many of you have gone through, we do a lot of kind of unlearning about the knee-jerk reaction we all have to be solving problems for our clients, and so we make a real conscious attempt in the courses to say, and part of our model is to really hold the client's agenda and to get ourselves out of the way, and we do that for the purposes of building strong coaches who are able to really listen, be over there with your client, level 2 listening, level 3 listening, and to get ourselves out of the way. But
we actually tell you in the fundamentals course, don't have opinions, don't have points of view, don't really turn those off. Sort of hide that from yourself. Move it over to the side so that you can really be present with your client and learn to listen to them. Because the truth is, in our world, we're not really taught how to listen deeply. And so in the fundamentals courses and in the early advanced curriculum, we really work with you in developing those skills of being over there with another person. And part, one of the costs of that is we create the image for many of our coaches that the coach is supposed to be invisible, is not to have a stake or an agenda of their own. And we realize that we don't want to keep nourishing or nurturing that idea because we don't believe it.
I just noticed a note here. I've been asked to press the record button. Henry, keep going if you would here for
okay.
a moment.
So what I just said was a profound statement for many of you. We actually believe that the coach does have an agenda, does have a stake, does have a reason to be there that is vital and really important. And it actually will help drive directions that the coaching goes and direct pointing the clients sometimes. That agenda, that stake is that we believe that coaches are transformative change agents. The reason that they are in a relationship with their client is because that client is looking to change, looking to have transformation in their lives. And the coach is there to do it in a way that's transformative, is breakthrough oriented as opposed to incremental, meaning it happens in a step-by-step sort of planned way. It doesn't always happen that way. As you know, if you've been coaching people, it happens in breakthrough ways. All of a sudden, the client shows up and a breakthrough is occurring. And that's what coaches are there to create is breakthroughs and change and implement that in their clients.
So rather than in any way when it gets misconstrued that the coactive coach is in some way soft or invisible or something like that, that really is a misconstruing of what coactive coaching is all about. And so we're wanting, in a sense, there's a little bit of a raising the bar here and bringing back the coach's agenda and to stand very firmly in the message that we are, as coactive coaches in organizations, transformative change agents. And what
right.
does that, you know, what does that really mean? And when we started some months ago talking about having this series and starting this conversation, one of the questions we were asking ourselves were, well, what does that really mean if you're working with clients in an organization and you identify as, yep, I'm coactive coach, I'm a transformative change agent, I am about evolving consciousness, and I stand there firmly. What does that really mean when the rubber meets the road? Because sometimes that is not easy. And although, like with this webinar series, we have titled it, we've added in organizations because we do, you know, that's an important context. But really, this is about coaching anywhere. Now, I would say, you know, in my own practice, about I would say 50% of my clients are leaders in organizations and 50% are not. Now, is that coaching really different from one to the other? They're different contexts. But one thing I would say is that sometimes for me, I encounter inside organizations a more sometimes intense pressure, or I feel a certain pressure to tone down my coaching a little bit, you know, or to sometimes I am tempted to avoid certain kinds of risks as a coach or going swinging out on a limb in ways that I feel a bit freer to when I'm not in the organizational context.
Well,
so,
and often the organizational context actually provides a place that coaches feel they have to even be safer. Right?
Yeah.
But where they have to go along so much with the agenda there, or they'll get fired. And when they fall into the patterns that are being demanded of them by the organizations, they can't really act as transformative change agents. It becomes really like plodding through mud in a way.
Yeah. So we said that. That as a context, because we believe that the challenge for us as coactive coaches to really stand in a place of transformation. It's just it's intensified in the organizational settings. So in our conversation, we were asking, well, what then does it really take when the rubber meets the road? And one of the things that we think it takes, I'm moving the slide forward here, is being willing to shake it up, to shake things up, to not settle for the status quo. So the place that we stand here is that coactive coaches get uncomfortable when the status quo seems to be in charge, or you know, when you start, it starts to feel a little bit slow and boring or something. Our job is to shake it up, and
it's one of the reasons we have two people leading this call, two people leading our workshops, is because one person's even in leading, one person's voice, one person's system can become the status quo. And it starts, we all start to go to sleep a bit. And so shaking things up and the ability to step in with courage and shake things up is part of the coach's job.
We would say that coactive coaching, I mean, in an organization, it's one of many kinds of interventions that organizations use to develop leaders, to help people perform better. There are lots of strategies at use. So, like, what is it really that we bring to the table, that we bring to that conversation, that sets it apart from other things? And one of the things here is that it's not business as usual. We want for clients to be able to view their circumstances, their possibilities, who they are, their identity, really in fresh and new ways, not in habitual status quo ways. And that's part of what sets it apart. And for that to happen, sometimes shaking it up is part of what is necessary.
Absolutely.
So on today's call, we want to talk about this thing we call the disorienting dilemma, kind of a catalyst, if you will, for transformative learning. Talk about shaking things up and different forms. How does that happen? And who are you in the matter? Who are you? And actually, when
coach.
I say who are you the coach, and you, all of you here now on this call, like individually and personally, if you think of your clients, your settings, who you become when you feel most intimidated, unsure, uncertain, as opposed to bold, courageous, and grounded? Like, what happens to you when there's a need for you to shake it up with your client? Saboteurs and the status quo. What are the kind of most common saboteurs, and what are our strategies for getting out from underneath them? And what tips and tools do we have for shaking things up? So that's kind of our intro here. And Henry, anything to add to
that? I think
we're
introed. Let's go to the disorienting dilemma.
All righty. So here we have a disorienting dilemma.
So one thing that happens in any story, in any, and a coaching relationship is actually a story. There's a narrative. There's a form to it. Is that any good story, any journey begins with a disorienting dilemma, begins with the person, the hero, in this case the client, having to be slightly disoriented, having to know that change is needed, choice is needed. The client needs to see that. It can't just be business as usual. And so part of the coach's job at the beginning of the relationship and all the way through at different points in time is to create disorienting dilemmas, to literally create all of a sudden a monster in the middle of the road or a chasm or something that client sees and faces and knows they're going to need to find something in themselves to shift or transform in order to get on down the road.
So if we all think for a moment of our own lives and the experiences that we have had in our lives when we have experienced transformative growth, you know, when we have gone through periods that have fundamentally changed us. At many times, and research bears this out, that often it is the events in life that are unexpected, that are sometimes quite difficult, that are highly confronting, that catalyze those kinds of shifts and changes in our lives. So sometimes it's, you know, it's when we're uprooted. It's when we change jobs. It's when we go through divorce, when we experience loss, when often, unfortunately, it comes through tragedy, and sometimes it comes through magnificent and brilliant opportunity, but it's often the unexpected and those situations in life that come upon us seemingly out of nowhere that we didn't expect, that catch us off guard a bit, that are disorienting, that have us kind of rethink who are we here? Who have we been? Who do we need to become? The ground has to, in organization development, sometimes they call this the unfreezing, meaning if you think of the status quo as things being kind of set in ice or frozen, there needs to be an unfreezing. Things need to get shaken up a bit. So sometimes those
in the evolutionary world, evolutionary theorists say that evolutionary leaps or transformative evolutionary leaps can't happen without crisis, without some need to evolve, and that need is presented with some sort of disorienting dilemma for what's evolving, some crisis, some threat to the current status quo, the current system, and I need to learn to adapt, to shift, to change in order to grow. And it's our contention that the coach's job is to provide those disorienting dilemmas for the client so that they, or not provide them, the client's life will provide them, but to point them out, to, you know, put the magnifying glass on them, to put the gas pedal down on them, so to speak, so that they occur in such a way that the client must then evolve, grow, transform.
And it may be that, as Henry said, that, you know, life provides them. So with our client in an organization or wherever they may be, they may have experienced a job change or a reorganization, or it may be, you know, in the fabric of their work life, or it may be that actually I'm aware that this client, it's like all smooth sailing, and that some value could come if there was a bit of a disorienting dilemma that happened. And so I may actually hold an intention to, like, I'm on the lookout for a way that might get created, and that as coach, I might reinforce that happening a bit. So there are different ways that might take place.
All those of you that are on the call know what Art's talking about, those times. And it happens sometimes even just during a call where you start to feel like your attention is 50%, or you're just starting to be aware that you want to multitask or go somewhere else or do something, and you are aware that in the relationship with your client in this moment, something needs to happen. Something needs to happen to disorient, to get the attention of you and your client, to move somewhere.
And this can, you know, this can happen in lots of different ways. I know, you know, if I think of specific interactions with clients, there are times when actually there is hard data available that I can bring to my client's attention. And it can be in the form of feedback from other people. It can be, you know, there have been times when in some contracts my strategy might be that I'm going to conduct interviews with the people that work for my client or around my client, and I gather feedback, and I have a feedback session with my client. And part of my intention in that feedback session may be here to shake things up by creating a disorienting dilemma. Here, client, are a set of blind spots that, you know, here's some things that you're not seeing that other people are seeing in your performance. Here, client, is the place where you potentially are going to derail, that your career may be careening off the tracks. You need to wake up and see it. There's a quality sometimes of stopping in your tracks and being confronted, really confronted, with a harsh reality that it's been all too easy to avoid before. And sometimes our job is to bring that right up and put it right on the table so that you can't really, and the client, you know, sometimes, again, it's uncomfortable. want to avoid it. No, 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 client, come back. Look at here, I think you missed this. Like, really, it's gratifying to me when I know that my client has seen something that's important that they weren't able to see before that's going to open the doorway to change. So that's
one way.
It's
like a coaching high.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it is when it seems like the train car is about to head off the cliff. You know, the client doesn't see it, but really where they're headed is toward some sort of failure and needing to, you know, to raise that, to shine light on that, to make it apparent.
So, you know, Art, I have a disorienting dilemma right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have this new dashboard that looks up this webinar thing, and I can see that 50% of the people on the webinar listening to us right now are multitasking. That means 50%
right,
of these people all over the country, all over the world, 50% of you are actually listening to us with half an ear and, you know, doing other things on the computer at the same time. That's fascinating. And as I'm talking about it right now, I'm noticing more of you stopping, and you're starting to listen. And what I've just done is increase the listening in the room in of you all listening by 10%. I've decreased the multitasking by disorienting you, by challenging you a bit. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so there's and part of it is, you know, I think as coach, I know, like, my I'm continually trying to train my ears for what I'm listening for and to remember. So, like, Henry, what Henry just did there was kind of got out of the mode of here we are presenting a webinar and got present with what's happening right now. Like, with the skill of articulate what's going on, pointed to something right here that sort of creates a mini disorienting dilemma. And often in the coaching conversation, I find it's like that. It is, in this moment now, what is needed to shake things up. So I'm going to move us forward here.
Speaking of shaking things up.
And we have here the image of a lightning bolt and a thunderstorm.
And
go ahead, Henry.
Well, this is what we realize the effect of shaking something up is. It's a bolt coming from nowhere. It's a lightning bolt coming from nowhere that we need to send into our relationship with our clients. And in order to do that, we have to know we have something for them. It can't just be another mushy question.
It has, like lightning, unexpected power, can be at times really surprising,
yeah.
And might even make the client jump a little bit.
Yeah. And in order to do that, these are some things that we need to be aware of.
So the things you see listed on the slide here are places to be looking. So the first one here is recognizing the energy of the status quo. So this is really paying attention to your how it's feeling in the coaching conversation, to really notice if you are starting to get bored as the coach. Here's a place where we talk about your level one listening as opposed to level two or level three. So level one listening, really noticing if you're saying to yourself, you know what, I've heard this story 5 times before from this client. I'm getting a little tired here. Well, to know that actually that is useful information. That is telling you something about the energy of the status quo, that it's getting
sleepy. Guaranteed, if you're in it, your client's in it. Because we all live in this. We all live in this familiar, comfortable position of the status quo.
And it's
we
easy.
Need to know the energy
I
of that so that we can begin to form our lightning bolts.
Yeah, and I found it's sort of easy to say, oh, listen to your level one awareness. Listen to what, you know, to your own. And it's easy to say that. It's a different thing to really bring it in as a skill in your coaching. And to trust it, and to really So one of the other places to be vigilant about is, what am I noticing here that's needed, you know, that's needed now?
And then from that place, you can see the possibilities. From that place, that you can look down on the ground, basically, and see where you want to send your lightning bolts. You know, you can see, once you recognize the energy, you can begin to see what's needed here, you know. And what's
and
needed
here
is definitely something to needs to be shaken up. Something we need to I need to shift the emphasis in my voice, or I need to shift the, you know, the sweat coming out of my client in some way or another. I need to shift something. I need to move something.
And there's a way for me, like a thunderstorm, that, you know, the period of time before lightning is striking, and there it almost gets kind of quiet, where there might be sort of a rumbling that's leading up to something. I know when I think of these moments for myself, when I become aware that, oh, gosh, okay, things need to get stirred up here, and there's some action I need to take or I want to take or some way I want to surface a disorienting dilemma, it sometimes is intimidating. It gets a little, it might be a little scary. It might, that there's a mustering of courage that happens inside me, where if I slowed it down and I replayed it, there, it's something like, first, the awareness of it pops onto the radar screen. I become aware of it. And then, right away, I notice that I'm scared, or I notice that I feel intimidated, or I notice that I feel, whatever, risk-averse, or like that's what happens next. And then the next thing for me is I remind myself of, it's about seeing the possibilities. It's knowing this is my job here. This is an opportunity to grab onto. Now's the time to take a deep breath and, going to the next bullet here, jump in to do it. And so if I slowed it down, that's sort of the process it feels like to me that I go through.
Well, and then the last step, which is the key to the whole thing, is once you've mustered the courage, or as I looked at last week, the rage of the heart, the core is the heart, and rage, it's like I think of always courage as I must act. I'm mustering my must act, you know, and then I act. I jump in. I literally throw my bolt into the fray and see what happens. And then I need to be able to stay with what happened with my bolt, because that's where the transformation occurs. That's where things start to shift and change, is in that in those times after. And that's a really, the capacity to stay, and I love that that's in capital letters, because that ability to stay with the impact, with the effect of my jumping in, with my shaking things up, is where the cells start to rearrange and the change and transformation starts to occur. What often happens there is after I jump in, I get so sort of freaked out by my jumping in that I'm gone, that I don't stay and see what happens as a coach.
It's when presence is really, I think, the hardest. And I have to say that the times when, because, you know, for myself with my own clients, there are times when I'm really successful with this and then times when I'm less so. And I know that there is that the degree of satisfaction I feel from the work I do with a client is directly related to the degree to which I'm able to do these things, to the degree to which I'm able to really hold to this higher commitment for transformative change for the client and be willing to put my own perceived security or whatever on the line. And when I do that, when I truly do that, 9 times out of 10, it pays off like tenfold to me. That's been my experience. So we really want here for everybody on this call to think for a moment about your own, your practice, your clients, to bring to mind times when you can think of that you've had a client where there has been a certain degree of stuckness in the status quo, and where there's been something at risk, like you could, you know, you could lose your role here as coach, or where it has taken some courage to step in. And of the things that we were talking about just a moment ago, I want to go back to that slide. For these things that we've been talking about, which are the ones that are really difficult for you? And where are the ones that are easier for you?
And where are the ones where you get pulled into your own, you actually lose connection? Because the other thing that has to happen with all of these points is that you're always deeply in level two connection with your client, level two and level three. You know, I know most of you know what I'm talking about, but that deep, highly focused connection with your client, all of this is happening at the same time. So it's the ability to hold those things at the same time that's the important, actually the important element.
And I'm noticing I want to pause here to respond to a question that this is a question that's come up from Heather. So Heather, thanks for the question. If I understand it correctly, the question is, so how, like this all sounds good here, but how do you coach clients who really haven't asked for it? Like if your contract or your assignment here is to coach folks who it's more a job requirement rather than something that they have sought out. How do you be standing for this stuff when that's the case?
Well, and the rest of her question too is interesting, is that she's operating on the assumption that these clients aren't interested in change, are not interested in change.
Yeah, because I have my, and Henry and I may have different responses to this, by the way, but my take on it is actually, it would be two things. One is I have different thoughts about it. One is that I hold firm and believe that part of being human, being a human being, means fundamentally a desire to evolve, that's part of what we are up to as human beings, is to evolve, to change, to become more conscious. That's part of our, I don't know, it's not like our job, but it's part of what it means to be a human being. And this process of coaching is in support of that. So whether people have signed up for it or not, I believe that people want to learn and grow. It's just a sort of fundamental assumption that
it's part of being human.
Yeah, and it's part of what I bring to the coaching relationship. Now,
I think can I add something to that, Art?
Yeah, please, Sydney.
Because I think the other thing is that in addition to it's almost like a need in us that's cellular. We need to emerge. We need to grow. We need to change. We need to transform. It's part of the human condition, actually, the human drive is to change, transform, and grow. Also part of the human drive is to have things stay the same. And so there's a natural resistance to change, growth, and transformation that is also part of our drive. And as coaches, we need to know both things exist. So I know that Uzo here asks, that, you know, what happens when they just keep resisting change? Well, the thing is they will. But our stand, our stake, is that we're transformative change agents. Coaches are transformative. We are supporting the change that humans are also, all humans, are driving and pushing towards in their lives. And that actually the universe and the world and the busy moving parts of this world, as it seems to be increasing in its rapidity, is pointing us towards we need to be adept at changing because everything else around us is.
And all of that said, I would add also that there are times in our lives, we all know this, there are times in our lives and in the lives of our clients when people are more on the edge of transformative change than at other times. You know, we go through growth cycles, and so I'm saying here is that there are some times when it's sort of like the fruit is more ripe for picking than at other times. The other comment I want to make to this question, and then we'll move forward, is that in those moments when I have a client who is not into coaching, who doesn't seem interested in the process, where I feel like I am working way too hard, what do you do? Well, often when it really gets that way, that is when we were saying really be on the lookout for the status quo. That's the status quo. And what's needed is a wake-up call. And it, you know, there are times when the coaching contract needs to end, you know, when it's not producing results, not being valuable. So often the form of that sort of wake up call or shake it up sounds like, hey, client, this feels like a big waste of time. What are we doing here?
Which in itself is a disorienting dilemma.
Is the disorienting
dilemma.
It's a
shake it up. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to our next slide.
Here we go. All righty. So saboteurs and the status quo. We've asked you here to think about yourself and the situations that you find yourselves in with clients, and really where is it most challenging for you? What are the saboteurs that that sort of threaten to pull you away the most? We have kind of an interesting image here on this slide, I would say. We have here an image of a person who is clinging to the safety of that phone pole. And below him or her is raging water. And immediately above him or her is electricity.
And
so this, yeah.
It's a lose-lose. Is what it
it's
looks
very
like.
Much a lose-lose situation here. So I want to ask everybody out there to just think for a moment, just quickly bring to mind, imagine yourself in a situation with a client that is tough, that's challenging, where there's a need to take some risks and shake things up, but frankly, you want to cling to the safety of the pole, where the saboteur is kind of having its way. Like you don't want to risk getting fired, you don't want to risk the client getting angry, you don't want to risk whatever it is, but the saboteur is having its way. And here's this is coming from some of the work that we're doing with the leadership circle, leadership profile. But if you think about that situation, I want to point out how we catch ourselves in a lose-lose kind of situation. Because on one hand, the belief that we've got going, the script that we're running, is that you have to fill in your own blank here, if I confront my client, if I speak the hard truth, if I do something a bit drastic, it will, and then you have to fill in the blank, it will result in getting fired. It will make my client angry. It will have people think that I'm not a good coach. It will, you know, again, fill in the blank.
It will cause a serious disorienting dilemma for me, the coach.
Whatever is the way that you fill in your blank there, it's a losing strategy. It's the fear of something bad happening. Like if you were to do that, it's going to lead to no good. So it's not a viable strategy. In the other direction is, using this metaphor, clinging to the pole, is refraining from taking action, refraining from confronting your client, refraining from speaking up or shaking things up. And if you play out that scenario, what happens over time if you, metaphorically speaking, if you cling to the telephone pole in your coaching? Eventually, your client's going to get bored. It's not going to be worthwhile. You'll grow a reputation for being a somewhat, you know, mediocre coach. Like, it doesn't lead to the success that you want. So we end up sort of caught between the fear of doing something that'll have dire, horrible consequences.
Or clinging to the pole.
And this happens kind of automatically without being fully aware of it. And part of our job is to get more conscious of how we fall prey to the saboteurs and really how do we fill in those blanks so that you can make a different choice.
And a choice clearly needs to be made. And usually that choice needs to be something like a lightning bolt.
Right. I'm just looking here briefly at some of the questions that have come in. And there, you know, I see some questions here. There's one earlier, and I apologize, I let the name slip by, I don't recall. But there have been several to the questions about, like, yeah, but what happens if you push too far, and it creates problems? Or when shouldn't you stay?
Those are the questions of attention. Those very questions are what create us being on the pole, aren't they?
Exactly. You know, the what about the danger of getting sued here as a coach? Because it's not, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that that's something that happens very often. And in fact, I think the instances of that have probably been pretty few and far between, meaning that, like, the fear we may have of things like that happening and the reality of how frequently they do happen, I think are not congruent. However, it could happen. It's not like it couldn't happen. You could fall into the raging water and get swept away. That is, as Henry's saying, that's part of the intention here. So what do you do as coach? On one hand, wanting to stand for transformative change, and on the other hand, knowing that there is risk that your client will get angry, that your client won't like you as a coach. That is a risk that we run.
The job of us, the coach, is to be conscious of the tension that exists always and hold that tension between those two things, and then look at what are we going to do to shake it up? What are we going to do? What's the choice of the possibilities that we or our client or our client are going to do to shake the situation up, to shift it?
And I think that I want to try to respond more directly to it, because it is there is a tension that we're talking about feels familiar to me. I recognize it, and there is a place where I am exercising judgment of how far to go, and where because I think what guides me, I'm sort of thinking this through as I'm saying it, because our message here is not throw caution to the wind.
No.
Throw your judgment out the window. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying do things no matter what the cost. I think we've been sort of leaning in that direction because, for the most part, coaches cling too much to the telephone pole. Like, the direction we want to move people in is toward greater risk-taking, not towards less risk-taking. But that doesn't mean don't exercise judgment.
Yeah, and there's something that we pull from the leadership program that handles this too, is that there is, and this is what we meant by stay up above in the earlier slide, is that there's a responsibility for impact. There's a staying and knowing that I'm responsible for sending that lightning bolt of change into space, and I need to stay and be responsible for what I put into the space, not stay codependently attached. Not that kind of stay, but stay responsible. Stay in my responsibility to what I put out there, the risk I ask my client to take. I stay in relationship with that client and with the relationship itself and with myself to know what to do next.
And we've really, the conversation has kind of naturally segued here to tips and tools. Like, so how do you hold this tension? What are the skills that it takes to coach in this way and exercise judgment? And so here's what we've come up with, at least as a starting point. And the first one, this appeared on our last webinar's tips slide as well, is the Designed Alliance.
Because this is the core of our model, Art.
It is. It's the core of the model. And, I mean, this is, if you think about how you were trained in coactive coaching around the Designed Alliance, and how it shows up on the model is as a container for this coaching relationship and as a space in which the client can explore anything and where, you know, it's not status quo. So part of part of this does have to do with establishing that container right from the beginning and to continue to nurture it as a container for a powerful relationship.
And the word I always like to put in between the and designed is consciously. In other words, this is where the consciousness of the relationship shows up. It's where we stay conscious in the nature of how we're working together between coach and client. And this is where it's designed that I actually throw lightning bolts. You know, we design that together. We create that alliance.
Yeah, and I find that with clients sometimes when we get to a place in the coaching where I realize, like I can feel that actually the status quo is winning, and I recognize in myself that I'm shrinking back from being courageous as a coach, and this starts to, you know, can sort of, it can just creep into the coaching, but after one or two sessions, there it is, and I can feel it. So something's got to happen. Now, it may not, my judgment may be, all right, it's not lightning bolt throwing time, but what it may be is going back to the designed alliance. And I need to say, I want to have a conversation here about how we are in conversation here in our coaching sessions, because it's gone flat and something needs to change and you're not getting the value here that is really available. And I realize I've started shrinking back from the tough issues here. So I want to redesign this alliance with you. Here's what's needed. So you've got to have a container in which this kind of coaching can be happening.
Yep. And the other thing, that next thing is do your own work. And to me, this has got to be a commitment of all coaches, actually all human beings, but definitely coaches. This is what I call cleaning out your basement. You need to know what it is that makes you uncomfortable and build your search for it, root it out, dig for it, and learn to build your capacity to be with that thing that makes you uncomfortable, because it's definitely going to show up in front of you or in front of you with your client. You need to recognize and know your own saboteurs, your own harsh critics and judges, and all the parts of you that are having you cling to your pole, basically. And know them and know what to do with them and know where they come from and how they operate, and then look at what you need to do to take rest control from their slimy hands.
another thing here would be to use feedback, use data, as I was talking about before. I often, and with contracts, will do interviews with the people that work with my clients to gather feedback, and I present that back to the client. There are many different tools out there. I've mentioned the Leadership Circle profile that CTI is now using. It's a humdinger. We picked it because it raises the disorienting dilemma powerfully and quickly with clients, and it focuses on the being and the identity, not just the doing or the competency. So it's one example.
Well, and it looks at what I love about it, too, is it really exposes the basement of the client. It exposes the limiting beliefs and the structures that the client has put in place that actually prevent them from excelling and in the other areas that are pertinent to the business.
And it's one of, you know, there are others out there as well, and there are other ways to gather feedback, but the larger point being here to use feedback, use existing data.
Yeah.
And the last one here is to practice taking steps outside the comfort zone. And there is tremendously good news around this one, which is that and earlier someone, I think it was Charlie, raised a question about the skills that it takes to hold the tension and to do coaching in this way. And so one of the things I want to say here is that there is a skill or a capacity to coaching in this way that gets built over time. So the saboteurs that tend to get in my way, over time, with practice over and over again, I get better at it. And I've noticed over years that capacity for me as coach really does change. So it is, as they say, the way to get to Carnegie Hall is to practice, practice, practice. the way to get really fearless as a transformative coach and organization is to practice, practice, practice.
Absolutely.
So I want to, yeah, Henry, you're going to say something?
Nope.
Okay, I wanted to take a look at some other questions here.
Oh, that's what I was going to do, too. There's a question here from Grace that I think is interesting related to what we were talking about earlier around stay. Her question is, how do we assess the client's courage to stay at the beginning stage?
Yep.
The stay we're talking about, Grace, is the stay of the coach. The coach will keep the client engaged, we assert, by actually doing what we're talking about here, by actually creating ongoing and regular opportunities to shake the client up and to keep them engaged in the coaching through the disorienting dilemmas and shaking things up and moving them forth and really holding a clear stake or agenda for the change that this client is going to need to go through in order to become who they fully are. I don't know if that makes any sense. But the stay is with the coach. It's not with the client.
And
the client
will
stay as a result of the coach being fully engaged.
It's related, too, to the Design Alliance. Like, it's not, as Henry's saying, it's when we use the word stay, we really are referring to the coach's capacity to stay. And there is a, like other words I'd use for it might be the client's willingness to really engage in the process, to really look, to have uncomfortable parts be a part of the process. And so that brings me back to the Designed Alliance and to knowing that, like we, in this conversation, we've been talking a lot about how the coach challenges the client, and it's our conversation, the title of this webinar is Shaking Things Up, Disorienting Dilemma. It's not about comfort. And that's not the whole conversation, because I also, in addition to challenge, am providing my client with support, using the skills of championing, of deep listening.
Calling forth.
Of acknowledgement. So the challenge is always blended with support that holds it.
Right. And one of the things that I know that Sam asks about calling forth here in one of his questions, and talk a little bit about calling forth. Calling forth is a skill that we introduced in the Bones workshop, and in the Bones was actually, I think, designed primarily to look for who is this coach in the matter? You know, who are you as coach in the matter? And that you're not just someone asking, staying invisible and asking questions. You're actually there to nurture and foster and call forth the change that this client needs to create in their lives in order to evolve to the spectacular being that they are. And so a lot of what we're talking about here, Sam, is indeed calling forth. It's actions that are about shaking things up, moving things on, so that we can call forth that client into who we know they are and who they sometimes know they are. As coaches, we often can see it more clearly than our clients can, this place where they're changing to or transforming to. And it's our job to keep them moving towards that place.
And I'm looking here at a question from Michelle, which is about what about this approach when we're talking about larger groups? For example, a department of a company engaged in a change management initiative, or, you know, a situation where there are negative feelings or resistance around the change that is happening. And, you know, I think there are different ways to – different thoughts come to mind, Michelle, and everyone on that to me. One is that we could talk about these same concepts that we've been talking about with individual leaders, because that's really who we're focused on here, individual clients. And there's a similar kind of stance I have as a consultant working with an organization for organizational transformation. It's you know, it's a lot of the concepts apply equally well. The other thing that comes to mind for me is that people always have their circumstances that they're immersed in, and it doesn't change the fact that they are human beings who want to show up in powerful ways, who want to learn and evolve and grow. And that even when my coaching initiative is part of a change process or some other kind of rollout in an organization, my client here is a human being who can stay stuck in a place of resistance and stubbornness or whatever, or they can grow. And my job as coach is to really call them forth. Given these circumstances, who do they want to be? You know, how do they want to show up?
You know, Art, I'm noticing as I sort of was looking at some of the attendees of this conference, there's actually quite a number of people who have done our leadership program. And what I want to first of all do a shout out to all of you guys, because many of you have seen my program. The other thing I want to say is that one of the things that's occurring in this taking a stand for the coach having an agenda, for the coach having a stake, we're sort of defining coach as a transformative change agent, is that it actually allows us to take coactive coach, the word coactive coach, and broaden it into it, coach as individual, working with individual, working with groups, teams, systems, because what happens is that coach is now looking to create transformation in all those environments, looking to create change. They have a stake. They have a stand that they're taking. And So we can now broaden our idea of coactive coach is that it is a transformative change agent in lots of circumstances, and using all the skills from both coaching and leadership to make that so.
So we're coming up here pretty close to the top of the hour, and so I want to sort of steer us toward our close here. And really, as we opened with, I want to invite everyone to join us in continued conversation about this. We've not been able to respond to all of the questions out there. There are a couple I'm seeing on my screen, and they're good ones, and we've run out of time here. But I want to continue them on the Coactive Network. And really to view this webinar and this conversation as the starting point, the launch pad of a conversation that we can keep having. I know that actually all of you out there, all of us together, have many, many, many more answers than Henry and I do. It's really a community conversation. So I want to invite everyone
to join us there
and really thank everyone for attending today.
All 260 of you from all over the world.
It's been
a big shout out and hello.
And we look forward to our next one is in 2 weeks, and we look forward to being with you here, same place, same time, for that, and in between, in being in conversation with you on the webinar, on the Coactive Network.
Bye, all.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for coming.